Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is finally time for NFL free agency. And to talk about it, we bring in Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good, Laurie. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So first of all, let's start with some big news that popped on Sunday. And the rumor is on the quarterbacks that Baker Mayfield is re-signing, he's a free agent, re-signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3 years, $100 million. What does that deal tell you about the free agent quarterback market? And what does it say about Daniel Jones's contract from last year?
That's two good questions. I would tell you that an already thin quarterback market got thinner with Baker Mayfield. Kirk Cousins obviously is the prize. I think he's the best free agent available at any position. It's really between the Vikings and Falcons, and then things get weird wherever he goes. If it's the Vikings, then the Falcons no longer have Mayfield, who people thought was their plan B, and now do they trade for Justin Fields or do they get in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes? Do they become a trade-up candidate mm-hmm. over the Giants in the draft? And if Cousins goes to the Falcons, where do the Vikings go? Because you don't think the Bears are going to trade to the Vikings. So I can't see Justin Fields there. So a lot of dominoes there. And then it's really Wilson after Cousins. And then like the Ryan Tannehills, Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett type guys. So it's not a year where a lot of top quarterbacks are moving like we have seen the last couple years. And then to your other question, I think it tells you that the league thinks the Giants overpaid for Daniel Jones, which is something I've heard from agents for months, from a couple, not GMs, but other executives around the league, that the Daniel Jones contract wasn't going to be used as a standard for second-tier quarterbacks. It was going to be treated as an outlier, and that's what happened here. Baker Mayfield gets essentially $33 million a year, about a year and a half guaranteed, whereas Daniel Jones obviously got two-plus years' worth of guarantees and $40 million a year.
I think that GMs obviously are, worry about letting a player hit the open market. But it's interesting in hindsight that sometimes the market can actually be your friend and can show a player his value. I think in a lot of ways, it's unfortunate what's going on with the running back and the safety position. But right now, for instance, for the Giants, you have Saquon Barkley, a star player, but 27 years old, an injury history, hitting free agency at a year when there are a glut of running backs hitting there. And what do you expect for Saquon? And I'm sure he's, looking for a contract, was hoping last year with what the Giants were offering him, was hoping for something that was maybe not a McCaffrey contract, but just a bit below it. And what do you expect will happen with Saquon Barkley?
The same thing I think will happen with Xavier McKinney. I think they'll both leave the Giants tomorrow or Tuesday. I think you mentioned both position markets are loaded, and the Giants, I think, are hoping that might bring those two guys back, but they're the top two guys. McKinney is the top safety. Barkley is the top running back. And usually when you have a deep position, one or two guys at the top get paid, and it's that three, four, five on down guys who really suffer. I think Barkley will get a contract north of $10 million a year. I think the guarantees, as it has always been with him, will be the key number. If it's anything in the range of $15 or $16 million guaranteed over the life of the contract, then he wins the negotiation, because that's 25 or 26 on top of the franchise tag this year. And I think Xavier McKinney is looking at, I believe he was asking for about $16 million a year as his starting point. I think he'll probably get that. That's top five safety money. I think he'll probably get that. I predicted in today's post Barkley to the Texans and McKinney to the Eagles, and 24 hours later, I'd stick with both of those.
I love the fit of Barkley, Saquon Barkley, to the Texans. A team, you know, young quarterback, and that you know, made that offense dynamic. And in a pass-first offense with that quarterback, if you could suddenly balance that with where Saquon Barkley doesn't have to worry about being the number one option, because the passing game is going to be the number one option, and a solid, you know, they might not be, you know, elite top of the league, but a middle of the pack type of offensive line. You know, I mean, the only question is he going to stay healthy? But I, on a team like the Texans, I could see him putting up huge numbers.
Well, yeah, so could I. Laura, you and I have had this debate for 2 years probably now. And I think Saquon Barkley is still an excellent player, and I think his numbers have really been dragged down by the Giants' offensive line and the fact that he gets hit at or behind the line of scrimmage more than any running back in the league. So, yeah, you give him Laramie Tunsil and Shaq Mason and George Fant and whoever else is on, I think probably an above-average offensive line. I think he's going to have holes to run through that he hasn't had in years. Yeah, is his speed the same as it was in 2018? No, but he's still excellent at making guys miss, at hitting holes. I think he's a big play waiting to happen. So, yeah, I think that the idea of that fit with C.J. Stroud and on a rookie contract, and their two top receivers, Nico Collins and Tank Dell, are on rookie contracts too. That's the kind of team that can absorb a big running back contract.
And by big, I mean, we're still looking at, you know, to your point, I think it will be something in order of about $10 million a year and whatever the guarantee is. But this will not be the contract that, if that's the top of the running back market and everyone else will do worse, that position is just depressed. It is. And with safety, we'll see what happens with McKinney. But certainly there were a number of good safeties that were released and guys who, you know, the difference is McKinney is younger, but there's going to be a bunch of, if you're okay with a 30-year or 31-year-old safety, there will be a glut of those that are talented.
Yeah, and maybe the Eagles would be, but the Giants certainly shouldn't be. I mean, the Giants should not be in the market of signing anybody who is a win-now player. Like, no 31-year-olds, no 32-year-olds, no guys on prove-it contracts. The Giants aren't getting back McKinney. They should be looking towards Cam Curl, a guy from Washington, an ascending player. Jordan Fuller, a New Jersey native who's been a two-time captain and Super Bowl winner with the Rams. Guys in their mid-20s who are ascending, who could be here for a kind of a 3-4 year turnaround.
I hear you on that. The only thing I would say is I don't think they should be spending a ton of money on the safety position, period. Like right now, because I do think the Giants are a rebuilding team that aren't, you know, that 1 year away. So even if you are signing a longer term contract, I don't think you're signing because you can always get a safety, a decent one, on a 1 year deal. Whenever you need one, I just don't think you need to sign a long-term one.
I love when people say stuff like that, Laura. I mean, I guess some teams can, but I've watched Antoine Buffet come here and get his last paycheck, and I can't even remember the guy's name. Curtis Riley come here. The Giants have not just been able to find good players at any position over the 6 years I've been covering, safety, running back, and they've never just, like, stumbled into good players. So I would never, if I'm the Giants and I can get guys interested and he's young, I would not turn away good players at any position. But yes, to your point, it does seem like they are moving away from pay. They're moving towards positional value, away from running back and safety, and investing the money that they would have spent on their two of their five best players, Barkley and McKinney, on making their next two of their five best players, offensive linemen and edge rushers.
Right. I strategically, philosophically, like a strategy that does focus on some level on positional value. The problem there is that you have to get it right. And the problem for the Giants is that they consistently swing and miss. And whether it's, you know, from one GM to the next, it's and at a certain point, like, yes, there are mistakes where it's a Nate Solder overpay for a player that's more towards the end of their career. The other issue, though, when you look at the Giants as an example, and let's say the offensive line, both Jets and Giants have to fix this offensive line, is that the alarming thing for the Giants is the pattern of players that have performed below their level and then gone on and played with somebody else and been better. And whether that is, even a Kevin Zeitler, who was fine with the Giants, moves, you know, whether it was Cleveland and then Baltimore is a very good player. A John Feliciano, who's, you know, fine with the Giants and then goes over to San Francisco and is playing at a much, you know, superior level. We can go as far back as Eric Flowers, where total bust with the Giants, goes to Washington. They convert him for a guard, and he's a serviceable player. It just seems like time after time, the Giants are investing draft capital. You know, Mark Lewinsky was an above-average guard with the Indianapolis Colts. Comes to the Giants, is below average. There's such a pattern that just goes on and on. So I believe in positional value, but how do you start to have a better hit rate?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, right? I mean, they hit on Bobby Okereke, but generally speaking, free agents are free agents for a reason. Either it's attitude or injury history or what. And the Giants have been killed by signing guys who just immediately get injured. So, obviously they have different people doing the scouting now. Their free agency hit rate is probably middle of the pack. So, but if you're in year three and you're starting a rebuild in year three rather than in year one, there is a definite sense of urgency to hit it big like they have, you know, sometimes in the past. Laurie, as we're on the phone right now, the quarterback market thinned even more. Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers.
Okay, and that actually made sense. I mean, if I were Russell Wilson, I would have chosen the Steelers. It feels like it's a playoff team, and I wouldn't be that worried about Kenny Pickett, and you know, based on the contract, you know, the draft pick and all of that. So I like that move for him. But yeah, so that's obviously not an option now for the Giants. And all right, so you've got Russell Wilson there. The other quarterback news, of course, was the Patriots traded their former first-round pick also on Sunday. Today, Mac Jones traded to the Jaguars, where he'll be a backup quarterback. And what does that move tell you about the Patriots' draft plans? And does it give you any guidance on what the Jets might hope to do with Zach Wilson?
Two more good questions. Here's what I'd say. I don't think it really changes the Patriots draft plans. Like, yep. Anybody who thought the Patriots were not going to draft a quarterback because Mac Jones is here, like, they were clearly done with Mac Jones at the end of last year.
Yep.
So it signals more obviously that they're going to pick a quarterback because now they have a vacancy in the position. So, like, I guess it signals more obvious, but everybody I talked to thought that was going to happen anyway.
Yep.
As far as Zach Wilson, look, I don't think Zach Wilson is that much worse than, like, Mac Jones. I think people are like, oh, what's he going to get? You're going to have to cut him now. Like, no, I don't see that. I think he's going to be he'll probably fetch a sixth-round pick. I mean, NFL Network reported there were four teams interested in Jones. Could one of those other three pivot to Zach Wilson? Probably. I mean, he's probably more talented. He's had less success. So, I think that's a possibility, a sixth-round pick. What I think is fascinating, Laurie, is this is kind of like the old backup quarterback over the starter debate.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, we've seen Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, and we know their flaws. So they're worth a sixth-round pick. Trey Lance wasn't good enough to beat out Sam Darnold as the backup quarterback for the 49ers, and he goes for a fourth round pick. Why? Because we haven't seen him play. So it's almost like an advantage when you're not very good to not play. And like somehow Trey Lance is worth more than Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, which I think is very interesting. And obviously the reason I bring that up is all three of those guys were top 15 picks in the 21 draft.
That's a fantastic point in terms of, yeah, that air of mystery. In some ways, you know, better to be either injured or busting so badly that nobody has any idea.
And let's call it a warning sign as we get, that was a draft where five quarterbacks are picked in the top 15 and four of them have not worked out, or three and a half, whatever you think of Justin Fields. And we're steamrolling towards a draft here where we're probably going to have five quarterbacks picked in the first round. They don't all hit.
Yep. So that also takes us, you know, if we think about the Giants, you were just at the combine, the draft combine. We got to see some of the quarterbacks throw, and some were, you know, interviewed and all that kind of stuff. And what any behind the scenes, you know, what are you hearing in terms of potentially the Giants and their quarterback plans?
Yeah, I think they're going to draft one. So, and when I say draft one, I mean with their first pick, whether that's six or whether they have to trade up to four. I heard that. I didn't think that was the plan going when I left for Indianapolis. I thought they would pick a receiver and then a quarterback with their second pick, be it in the second round or in a trade up to late in the first round. In Indy, there was a lot of chatter that they were going to pick a quarterback. And then, like I said, the moves of, if you believe Joe Shane has a plan, and he seems like the kind of guy who does, Dave Gettleman had no plan. It was like one step left, one step right, one step middle, just kind of patching holes. You'd like to think Joe Shane does things methodically. You don't let Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney go if you're like under win now pressure. Mm-hmm. So you would like to think that those moves signal that he knows he has time. And if he knows he has time, he's probably looking towards, okay, we're going to start over with our rookie quarterback because Daniel Jones' injury history is just too unreliable. Now, I don't think they've given up on his talent. I just think they don't think they can trust him anymore to stay on the field.
Yeah, look, two neck injuries and then coming off the ACL for a quarterback who his mobility is an important part of the game is certainly something that it's valid to have the concern. So if they are looking at that in terms of what you heard, you know, it seemed like JJ McCarthy is getting out of Michigan is getting a lot of talk, but how about Bo Nix, but how about Michael Penix Jr.? I understand the injury history, but it seemed like he got good medical news coming out of the combine. Is he somebody that you think the Giants are potentially interested in, or is it McCarthy and those are the rumors?
I mean, I think if there's a scenario where they don't get one of the top four guys, then I think I could see them interested in Michael Penix Jr., but no one I talk to think he's worthy of a top six pick. So, yeah, I guess in a scenario where the top four guys are the top four picks and the Giants end up taking a receiver at six, then, yeah, I could see Michael Penix for the Giants on the turnaround. But I think right now they'd love it if one of those four guys fell to six and they could keep their two second-round picks without having to trade up, whether it's McCarthy, who – there's a lot of buzz about, I'm not super high on.
Yep.
Seems like a project, but whether it's Drake May, who's out of Central Eli Manning School casting for the Giants, or whether it's Jaden Daniels. who's out of the Brian Daboll Big Play School. I mean, he seems to be exactly the kind of quarterback Daboll would like. The Josh Allen big plays in Lamar Jackson's body, basically. So, yeah, I think any of those three guys they'd love if they fell to six.
Yeah, I'm with you on McCarthy, and that's where I was asking about Michael Penix Jr. is I get the injury concerns, but the arm to me feels like something that, you know, I don't know.
He's more ready to play than some of the other guys, put it that way. He's more ready to take the field right now, I think, than some of the guys who are going to be drafted before him. But again, it goes back to what I said. I don't think the Giants are necessarily looking for somebody who's ready to play right now. I think their plan is to start Daniel Jones week one and groom somebody else.
All right. Talking to Ryan Dunleavy about NFL free agency, the NFL, a bunch of these moves. Before I let you go, just if you, you know, as we look to Monday, as we look to tomorrow and the start of NFL free agency and players, you know, even if they're not signing their contracts, allowed to, you know, make deals with teams, talk to teams, who would be your, you know, give me one dream player for that would be a priority for you for the Jets and one priority for you for the Giants?
Okay, for the Giants, I think it's easy. I think it's Michael Onwenu, the Patriots tackle slash guard, because he allows you leeway with Evan Neal. You can basically tell Onwenu you're starting at right guard or right tackle, and Evan Neal is having a position battle with somebody not playing the same position. So if Evan Neal plays better than insert Justin Pugh or Josh Azudu at guard, then Evan Neal is the right tackle and Onwenu is the guard. And if the guards play better than Evan Neal, then they win the job and Evan Neal goes to bench and Onwenu is the right tackle. So his combination of talent and flexibility, I think, is perfect for the Giants. He just might cost $18 million a year for a guard, which is outrageous, but that's what the guard market is going to be this year.
Yep.
And then for the Jets, I mean, I would love to say Calvin Ridley, because I think they're going to pick an offensive lineman.
Yep.
At 10 in the draft.
Yep.
But I don't think I think Calvin Ridley's market is going to be blown up by all the receivers who re-signed and got tagged here in the last 8 weeks. So I don't think Joe Douglas will go to that level. So maybe a guy like Tyron Smith, the Jets are kind of a rental 1 year, 2 year team.
Yep.
So, I mean, you want to play with Aaron Rodgers, we need a left tackle. I think maybe a guy like Tyron Smith might end up choosing between the Jets and the Chiefs, and the Chiefs, I know I can win. The Jets, I could block for Aaron Rodgers. It's New York, that kind of thing. So I guess I would give them Tyron Smith as my perfect fit.
All right, last question before I let you go. You wrote a story about Justin Fields and the Bears and what may happen there, and you were talking about with some of these quarterbacks off the board, and now Russell Wilson is off the board, and we're talking about Kirk Cousins, and then otherwise for teams that need quarterbacks, looking at potentially trading for Justin Fields. But what are you hearing about Fields and the way the rest of the league is thinking about him?
That the second round, I never believed the second round pick stuff. I did think he could get a third round pick. And then people over at ESPN, good reporters at ESPN, started to say that that's not even true today. They reported that teams are seeing them as seeing Fields in the same light as they're seeing like Drew Lock and Sam Darnold as 1 year players that you don't know if you can trust. I think that's insane. We know Lock and Darnold have had enough time to do it in multiple teams and haven't been able to. So Justin Fields, I would think, should be a notch above them. But Laurie, the market's closing fast. If it's not the Steelers, if it's not the Falcons, because that's where Kirk Cousins, I think, is going to end up. If it's not the Vikings, because you're the Bears division rival, where is Justin Fields? The Broncos, maybe? I tell you, I mean, I guess you go, if you're him, you
or
go.
Or Raiders, Broncos or Raiders.
And those are two situations where you are set up to fail, I got to tell you.
Yep.
So, I mean, you go wherever you are. You're traded if you're him. You really don't have a choice. But I wouldn't be thrilled about either of those spots if I was him.
Yeah, I thought Atlanta was potentially the best. From his perspective, I think Atlanta is the best fit. But if that's where Kirk Cousins goes, or if they trade up for a quarterback, then that's that. But Atlanta, if I were him, that's where I'd want to go.
I think that's why Kirk Cousins wants to go. That's why Kirk Cousins wants to go, because they're ready-made to be a playoff team in that weak division.
Yeah, it's a bad division. You can just sort of keep going, cash your ticket to the playoffs. Ryan Dunleavy from The Post. People should be following him in The Post. Follow him online for news, and really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.